Ask you to turn to the sixth chapter of Romans. We sure have a lot to be thankful here, don't we? We do live in troubled times. And I don't care what anybody says, we live in a troubled country. But we have a lot to be thankful for when we compare what we have compared to what God has given other people. I can't help but wonder what our brother Lance Heller and his wife Robin are doing right now in the jungles of New Guinea. They got big bugs down there. I don't like bugs. I know I shouldn't, but I squash them. And it's hot. It's even more hot than Tennessee or Kentucky or South Carolina. Or to be over in one of those deserts where they are lopping people's head off just because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a lot to be thankful here. I get up every morning and I got hot water to go take a shower. I open up that box that's plugged into the wall in there and it's got food in it. Milk, water, meats, cheeses, all the things that are bad for me. Okay, there's sweets in there too. I think you're getting my point, aren't you? This morning though, I want to look at something that, to be quite honest with you, until I saw this verse, I didn't put a whole lot of thought about the gratitude that I should have for it. Look at verse 17 with me, if you would, for a moment of chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, I want you folks to be careful not to miss this, that very first thing that started off there, the word but. Our text opens with it and refers us back to what Paul had just told us in the previous verses about all that we have experienced in God's saving grace. All that we confess in believers' baptism, all that Christ has accomplished for us in redemption, all that the Holy Ghost has wrought in us by His grace and regeneration, the blessed assurance God has given to every sinner who trusts His dear Son that sin shall never have dominion over us again. We're redeemed. The price is paid. Sin no longer has dominion over us. But there was a time when it did, didn't it? There was a time when we had no care for the things of God. And we walked about through this world, as it says in Ephesians 2, living lustfully according to our own desires, dead in trespasses and sin. We've been saved by the grace of God. By His grace alone, we are saved from the cost of that sin. We are saved from the judgment towards that sin. Our Lord, who gave Himself to be judged for us, who gave Himself to be our substitute, took care of that for us. We were dead indeed unto sin, but now we are alive unto God. Christ is our life and we live in Him. After assuring us of those things, Paul, the apostle, writing by divine inspiration, says this very thing to you and I. He says, but God be thanked. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. I'm telling you, folks, What a great reason to be thankful of God. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Every saved sinner has great reasons to give thanks to God for His infinite wisdom, His matchless grace in saving us precisely as He has from sin. This is what Robert Hawker wrote about those very words that we just read. He says, "For myself, if I know anything of my own heart, I hope that I can truly say I hate sin." I hope that, don't you? Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, does it? But I truly hope that I can say that and mean that with my heart. I hate sin. I would not willingly, he goes on to say, nor willfully commit a single sin for the world. Yea, I loathe myself in my own sight for sin, the sin of my poor fallen nature, and sin becomes more bitter to me as Christ becomes more precious. But with all this, I say I would rather be a sinner saved, and saved in such a way as I am saved, by the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have never known sin, neither known Christ as my Savior would be worse. You getting the picture? Now most read the passage of Scripture this way: God be thanked that though you were not a servant of, that though you were a servant of sin, but that is not what the text says, is it? The text says this: but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. The words of our text as they stand in our translation are precisely accurate according to the commentators that I've read from. They are in exact agreement with the Greek text that was written, the original text. If you try to add anything to it or take anything from that statement, you will do injury to it. Read it exactly how it is. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. You say, "What are you saying, John? What are you trying to tell us here? Are you saying the apostle would thank God that we were once in the drudgery, in the wickedness of Satan and doing his service? Should we thank God for that? Is that what you're saying?" Paul says that exactly, doesn't he? If God's glory is thereby more advanced, if sin is overruled by Him to show forth His greater glory, we must indeed say exactly with Paul, "But God be thanked that ye are the that ye were the servants, of sin." The Holy Lord God, by infinite wisdom and grace, has made our sin and our misery the occasion of our greatest possible blessedness. When Jonah died in the belly of the fish, you and I would sit here and think today, if that was us, it would be a pretty terrible thing, wouldn't it? But Jonah came out of that belly saying this: "Salvation is of the Lord." Could he have learned to say that any other way? What a blessedness to know that salvation is of the Lord. Yes, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us through all the things that we have come through in this world. That's a strange thing for people to say, isn't it? Because there's some pretty terrible things in this world that people can go through. I know of one who was raised with a father that would do unspeakable things to him. Yet that very one today thanks the Lord for everything that they went through. I can't even imagine that. You see, our Lord says in Romans 8:28, all things are for the good to them that love Him. And our Lord is truth, folks. Even the things that we may not know the good they are for us, we can share and bring good to others with, as Mike Giolotti once pointed out to me. He said, John, sometimes the Lord takes us through things just so we can share them with somebody else. I spoke with a friend of Mike Lovelace's via email, who's going through some trouble over on the other side of the world from us in the United Kingdom. And my only advice to her is that our Lord takes us through these things so that we can give encouragement to others. We've already gone through that. I didn't share with her with this, but I've seen my brother encourage people who've dealt with cancer with their children. Young children who've gone through cancer. I've seen our pastor, Gene Harmon, deal with my brother when my brother lost his son, knowing exactly what that was like because he had gone through that. Paul's answer is clear. God be thanked that ye were servants of sin. Just as poison is sometimes made a medicine for healing, and sickness of the body is made the means of health for our souls, the sin and the fall of Adam and our sin and our fall in Him laid the foundation for the revelation of Christ as a Savior and Redeemer. Do you imagine that we could ever have known our blessed Christ as our Savior and our Redeemer had not our shame in sin afforded us an opportunity to see Him as that? He didn't come here to heal those who needed no healing. He came to heal the sick and the lame. And I, for one, am thankful that I was one of the sick and lame. Because that's what drew me, just as the woman who had an issue of blood was drawn to Christ for healing, I was drawn to my Lord and Savior, seeing the sin that was in me. Now don't misunderstand me here. I'm not making any excuse for your sin, or for any man's sin, or for my sin. There is no excuse for it. We do not attempt by any means to escape our own responsibility for our sin or to charge God with it. James 1:13, it says, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. My sin is my own. And if you're a child of God, you know that yours is your own. Our great God is so infinitely wise, so gracious, that He turns our greatest misery and into our greatest good. And He sovereignly overrules our sin to make it an occasion for our eternal blessedness. Does it not say in Romans 8:28, all things? Does that not encompass all things? Including what we were at one time? Jonathan Edwards wrote it this way. He says, divine wisdom has found out a way whereby the sinner might not only escape being miserable, but that he should be happier than before he sinned. I thought that was put pretty well than he would have been if he had never sinned. Folks, by the redemptive work of Christ, the sins of God's elect are turned into a means of accomplishing a greater happiness, a greater joy, an everlasting glory that we could never have known if we had never sinned. Our Lord's word says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Our great God, in His infinite wisdom, He ordained our fall in our father Adam, and He overrules our abounding sin, that His own elect might forever enjoy the superabundance of His matchless, free, amazing grace. And that's the title for this morning's message. You know, we think about the amazing grace. I think about when I sing that song, how great and amazing it is that my Lord would look upon me at all, being a sinner. But after reading this scripture in Romans 6, I think to myself, whoa, you see how much bigger the picture just gets? He's not only, His grace is not only amazing that He would look upon us as sinners and save us as sinners, providing Himself the payment as our substitute for our sin. He didn't leave us to that sin. Our great God in His infinite wisdom. I've already read that. Sinful man is brought into a nearer union. Closer. A closer union with God in the person of Christ Jesus as our substitute than we could have ever enjoyed had we had never known sin. If we had never known sin, Christ would not be our surety. If we had never known sin, we would not need a substitute. But now that the Lord in His grace has revealed what we are to us, to our hearts, showing us what we are, we see His grace. We see that God has assumed our nature in the person of His Son. We see that we are members of His body. We see the Son of God who died in our place. We see Christ as our brother and our husband. We see Him who is our brother and our husband, and He is our surety, and He is the one who is responsible for us. He's the one who will keep us. He is the one who will surely have us. Our temporary situation, our temporary separation from God by sin has been made the means of our eternal union with God in Christ by redemption. Look over at the 17th chapter of John, will you? Hold your place there in Romans. We're going to come back to it. John chapter 17, beginning at verse 20, we read this. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, and they, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them and as thou hast loved me. Saved sinners, by reason of their sin, have greater and fuller knowledge of God. They have greater and fuller knowledge of His glory. They have greater and fuller knowledge of His grace, His justice, His holiness, His love for them, than we could ever have possessed had we had never sinned. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, our dying substitute. And His death, we have, and in His death we have the love of God commended to us. In Revelation 1, verses 5 through 6, we read this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto the justified in the saint in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verses 19 and 20, will you? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, and which are God's. Would we have known that we belong to God if we didn't know that He went to the cross and paid for us? Are you getting the picture? Do you see why we can be thankful to God for what we once were? For the sin that we had to go through? Folks, there's some terrible stuff that you and I have to go through still. We're going to lose loved ones. Don't try to think you won't. We all do. Family's going to go through sicknesses. If we can thank God for not leaving us in our own sin and showing us our Savior, cannot we be thankful for the troubles that are before us? If for no other reason, to share our Lord and Savior with those who go through those very same troubles. Look at Second Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verses 14 and 15 with me, if you would. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now look over at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 and 20 through 21. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, we now henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we, because of what our Lord has done for us, because God put His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to death for our sakes, taking our sins into the grave and coming out free, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see where the glory is going? It's where the glory needs to go every time I speak. Fallen men, saved by grace, have a greater and more sensible dependence upon God. A greater and more sensible dependence on God than he could have otherwise have had. And God is glorified by his creatures depending upon him. Fallen man, saved by grace, knows by painful and abundant experience that he has no hope but the free grace of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus, who is our all in all. Fallen, helpless man cries out these words, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in him." Did you ever notice in Genesis 2:17 that the forbidden tree was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did you catch that? God is the one who planted that tree, isn't he? He planted it in the midst of the garden, and he ordained that our father Adam eat that fruit, that forbidden tree, to taste the evil of sin. That's right. Because he had wisely, speaking of our Lord, and graciously determined that the elect might know the great and glorious good of redemption. How are you going to know how good redemption is if you don't need to be redeemed? Plain and simple, huh? Look again at our text. Look back again, Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 17. But God, at verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You were a servant of sin. But God has come to each and every one of His children in the day of His love and removed that bondage of sin from us by taking it and placing it on His dear Son, our Lord and Savior. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We're no longer servants to that flesh. We now serve our Lord and Savior with our spirit. I want to turn away from sin, but I'm not going to be able to totally do it until the Lord takes me from this flesh. We continue the battle. But here's the wonderful thing about it, folks. Our Lord's already won that battle for us. He won that battle 2,000 some odd years ago when He hung on that cross. Today, we are the sons of God. Not tomorrow, not when He takes us from this world. Today, we are the sons of God. Live like it. Live like it. What have we to fear? Fear of sin. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness and unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Faith in Christ is the obedience that Paul is speaking of in the 17th verse. I ask you this morning, will you obey that form of doctrine that is set before you? Our Lord doesn't say, go out and feed the poor and you shall be saved. He does say, go feed the poor. But He doesn't say, you shall be saved for doing it. What does He say, you shall be saved for doing? Whosoever believeth on Me. And our faith is His gift to us. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. What else can we do but praise and give thanks to our Savior for His amazing grace that He sheds in our lives, not leaving us to that sin that we were once servants to. But we can be thankful that we were once servants to it, because now we see through that we are servants to Him, to His righteousness, to believing in our Lord and Savior. Oh, what love our Father has. Look at Luke chapter 7, if you would, and I'll bring this to a close. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 7. beginning at verse 36 through the end of this chapter, and we read, "And one of the Pharisees desired him," desired Christ, "that he would eat with him. And when he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat down at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." A sinner. Not a Pharisee, not a self-righteous one, but a sinner. "And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." Pay close attention, folks, because this is what it would be like to not know that you're a sinner. "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that it toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Our Lord did know she was a sinner. That's what he came for. He didn't come for the Pharisee sitting there. He came for that woman. And when she knew she was a sinner, she got down and worshipped him. Which is what we do. It's what we do. Not just coming here on Sunday mornings, folks, but we do it all day long. Thank you, Lord, for bringing every stoplight between here and Sacramento my way. I'm sure there's something down there that you saved me from. Thank you, Lord. I'm worshiping my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the trouble that is coming to my life with my boss. Because I needed that trouble for one reason or another. Thank you, Lord, for the trouble that has come into my body because I have a disease of some kind that could kill me. Because, Lord, you know better than I do. And Jesus, answering verse 40, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Remember what it just said in that last one? Now the Pharisee which was bidden saw it, and he spake within himself. He didn't even speak outward. He didn't speak outward. Our God knows everything, folks. And if he knows everything, can we trust everything to him? I have somewhat to say unto you, he says. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and he said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Our Lord, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? Who are you to forgive sins, this man in the flesh? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now I have a question for you folks. Do you have any sin in your life? Do you seek a Savior as this woman needed? Then come. Come to the one who came here to this earth to save sinners. come to Christ. Believe on the true and living God, Jesus Christ the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. The simplest way for you to understand that verse in Romans. We do not glory in our sin. We glory in Him who revealed it to us. Think where you would be this very day if God had never revealed your sin to you. You'd be out there in the world just like I would be, living after the lust of our flesh, fulfilling our own desires. Aren't you thankful for our God's amazing grace? He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Stand with me.